this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen. That is the Shofar Bible School. We would have started with live lectures in the semester. You know, God is faithful. God knows all. And we're just thankful to Him that He revealed that this is not the time. The timing is not quite right. We're probably going to start with a live lectures in the second semester. So the first semester is going to be a correspondence, a course where you buy a DVD sets, less than 1,000 rand. It's the best 1,000 rand you will invest in all of your eternity. And I actually recommend everyone to get that DVD set because it's something you have for life, you know. And the teaching on this is just brilliant. So what we're going to do the first semester is do the correspondence course. But each one that is part of the correspondence course is going to get a Bible school mentor that will sit with you with any specific questions or problems you may have or issues you want to discuss. That mentor, maybe you have more than one, but these mentors will be available during the course of the first 6 months. And when you have any questions or issues you want to talk about, then we can get together and have a good chat. So I really want to encourage you, if you've not done the Bible school yet, guys, get in it. Get in it. Start doing it. We're not saying Bible school is perfect, but what we are saying is that you will know a lot more than a lot of people in this world. Because if you don't understand this word, you're lacking. If we don't get into this word, if we don't apply this word in the correct way, many people read the word, but they don't apply it in the correct way. They apply it in a way that feels comfortable, you know, or what fits their schedule or whatever. But we need to apply the word in a biblical way. And I tell you, we're going to see amazing results. We're going to see amazing fruit in all of our lives. But first, we need to come to the knowledge of the truth. And when we come to the knowledge of the truth, then we can apply that truth. And that's where Jesus comes in. He just amazes us at what He can do through simple vehicles like you and I. Sorry to call you simple, but we are. You know, there's nothing spectacular about us. We are made spectacular in Jesus. It's in Jesus that we get significance. It's in Jesus that that we are able. We're not able on our own. We need God to fulfill us. Because without Him, there is no fulfillment. The fulfillment that we think we're experiencing here on earth is partial and it's fake. Fulfillment can only be found in God, and by discovering the Word and what the Word says about us and about spiritual truths and especially about Jesus, man, it just opens the door for so much that God can and will do through us to those who are willing to seek His face. So I really want to encourage you, if you want to join. We're going to have an info session on Tuesday evening at our home. More than welcome. This is going to be a nice informal session. We're going to walk through a few more details. And then we're going to kick off the Bible school season. Okay. Awesome. Okay, guys. Just while I was preparing for tonight, a couple of weeks ago, we were just in worship. And God just dropped tonight's message in my spirit. And ever since, I've just been meditating on it. And researching it actually a lot, because I haven't really looked into this specific word that often, and that's the word doulos, or bondservant. Bondservant in Greek means doulos, and we find this word throughout Scripture. It's quite amazing. If you start to look at especially the New Testament, how often the apostles use the word bondservant, and its Hebrew equivalent in the Old Testament. So, you know, if we want to understand what a bondservant is, we need to have a look at the history of Israel, because God gives us a beautiful picture of a bondservant throughout Scripture, but especially at Mount Sinai. Now, we know that Israel was in slavery in Egypt for, 400 years, right? But 400 years they were in slavery. God set them free. He allowed them to escape Egypt. They move through the Dead Sea, and their first major pit stop is Mount Sinai. They stop at Mount Sinai. And here God reveals himself in a powerful way to the nation of Israel. And when he reveals himself, thunder starts to, there's thunder all over the place. I can just imagine the earth shaking with the thunder of God. Lightning is all over the place. The mountains start to shake. I don't know how big Mount Sinai is, but, you know, even if a hill starts to shake, I think it's pretty impressive. So the mountain starts to shake, and they hear trumpets, heavenly trumpets starting to blow as God is manifesting himself and showing himself to the people of Israel. And immediately the nation of Israel, they retreat when they see this. Like, whoa, man, this is quite hectic. They start to retreat. And the reason why they retreat is because they fear. Because that's all they know. I mean, they've just come out of 8 or 9 generations of slavery. And they've been driven by the law of lashes. If I don't like what you're doing, I'm going to lash you. You know what? Even if I do like what you're doing, I'm still going to lash you as an Egyptian. Why? Because I can. You're my slave. I can do with you whatever I want. All these Israelites know since their birth is fear. They don't know how to relate in love. They can only relate to God in fear. And, you know, when we look at God and how he relates to his people and how we wish his people to relate to him, it's not driven by fear. God doesn't want us to have an unhealthy, fear-driven servant attitude towards him. I'm saying unhealthy because you get a healthy fear of God. Yeah, there is a healthy fear of God. I'm not going to talk about that tonight. But you also get an unhealthy fear of God. And an unhealthy fear of God is something like, you know what? I'm going to lose my job if I don't serve God. You know what? If I'm not going to serve God, I'm not going to find my husband or wife. I better stick with God if I want to find my husband or wife. You know, if I'm going to leave God, I'm probably not be able to walk in my anointing, or he's going to take my skills and my ability away. So I better stay close to God. That is not a healthy fear of God. That's an unhealthy fear of God. And God does not desire for us to serve him in that unhealthy spirit. What he wants for his people is to serve him in love. Because of a revelation of who he is and for what he has done for us as individuals and as a people as a whole. That is his desire. And it's interesting, when the nation of Israel, when they come to Mount Sinai, God gives them the Ten Commandments, but he also gives a few other rules and regulations. And one of the first rules he gives this nation is the law of the bondservant. And it's amazing when you start to study this, to see what God is showing us, especially in today's day and age, what a bondservant is and should be like. Let's look at Exodus 21, verse 1 to 6. That's our anchor text for the evening. And it says the following. Now, there are the rules. These are the rules that you shall set before them. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons and daughters, the wife and the children shall be a master's, and he shall go out alone. Now, verse 5. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. An awl is an else. Else is a sharp object that you use to make a hole in wood or even in concrete sometimes if you want to drill a hole or whatever. His master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. Now, sounds hectic, but hang on. This is a good ride. Now, first of all, remember that the Old Testament is a foreshadow of the New Testament. Yeah? The Old Testament is a foreshadow of the New Testament and of the coming Messiah, of Jesus. When we read the Old Testament, we must always ask ourselves, what does this mean to me in a spiritual sense? Because everything that happened in the natural in the Old Testament has got a spiritual connotation to it that we can apply in our everyday lives. Yeah? Remember that. Nothing in the Old Testament that we read about is just a nice historical piece of literature. There's meaning behind it. There's significance behind it. There's something that we can apply in the spiritual sense, and especially, obviously, points to Jesus. So that's very important when we look at this natural act of a slave saying, listen, I love my master, I'm coming back. Master comes, pierces his ear with the oar. What does that all mean? You know, we need to understand that in a spiritual context. Now, when we look at the law of the bondservant, the law of doulos, then we must also understand that this does not apply to a hireling. Who's heard of the word hireling before? Few. Let me just quickly recap hireling. Hireling is, I'm going to do something for you, and you're going to give me something in return. That's a hireling. Yeah? In other words, I'm going to do a certain job for you, and I expect wages. That's what you call a hireling. And in a spiritual sense, it means, you know, God, I'm going to serve you, but I expect you to do the following for me. If that's our attitude towards God, we're not servants of God. We are hirelings. And this law does not pertain to hirelings. It pertains to servants. It's important to understand that and just to know about that. Now, it talks about the slave. That's what he is. He's a slave in the master's household. This slave, he lives under the master. Now, the word master there is also called Adonai. Adonai means my Lord. Yeah? It's my Lord. That's the literal meaning of Adonai. So this slave, he lives under the master and he gets no compensation. Nothing. He's a slave, right? He gets no compensation. He has to do what needs to be done. But after 6 years, God says that guy can go. After 6 years, that slave must be released for free. I mean, the master can't expect the slave to pay him something in order to be free. That is the law. He must be, after 6 years, he must be made free. But the slave also have an option. The slave have an option to stay with the master if he loves the master. Can you see that? Can we just go to this? Oh, that's it. No, that's it. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, then he can choose to stay with his master. But I want to ask you, if the slave chooses to stay with the master, what is the default choice on that? His freedom. He gives up his freedom. Because he says, I can go free now. I can go my own way. But I choose not to go my own way. I choose to submit myself to my master because I love my master. So what is he willingly giving up? He's willingly giving up his own freedom. And that is quite amazing, you know. Because if the master sets the slave free, I mean, think about it. He can do whatever he wants. He can choose the direction of his life. He can choose what career he's going to take. And if he's a talented slave, he can probably have many careers, many different options. He can choose how to handle his finances if he goes free. He can choose who he will marry if he goes free. He's got lots of choices, this slave, if he decides that he's going to go free. He can choose who he will spend, what he will spend his time on. He can choose what he will pursue as an individual. But if that slave says, I love my master, and I choose to live with him for all of eternity, well, for my lifetime, then he chooses to give up his freedom. He chooses to give up all the options that lies ahead of him. But you see, when he makes that choice, he's not a slave any longer. Then he becomes a willing bondservant. He becomes a willing servant in the house of this master. And we need to understand what that means. Because at the moment, I can see you all freaked out. I mean, goodness me, what does God expect of me? You know? Let's get into it. Paul, James, Peter, Jude, John, all of them describe themselves as bondservants of Jesus Christ. Even Jesus was a bondservant. Jesus did not come to do his own will, but to do the will of the Father. He was clear about it. Time and time and time again, he said, I do not speak unless I hear what my Father says. I won't do anything unless I see what my Father is doing. I'm here to do what my Father does. Jesus himself was a bondservant. Now, so the first lesson that we can learn from all of us is, first of all, this slave, when he gives up his freedom, he becomes a bondservant. Why? Why does he choose to give up his freedom? Because he loves his master, right? Now, do you think that this is a good or an evil master? It's not a difficult one, eh? It's a good master. I mean, what slave will give up all that freedom to serve a bad master, right? But this slave, he sees a good master. I want to be with him. And he chooses to stay with him. So this decision, it's not based on fear. This decision is not based on an intellectual assent, but it's based on the condition and the attitude of the heart. And guys, when God looks at us, I believe he doesn't first look at our hands and what we do. He looks at the condition of our heart. Are we really doing this for him? Or are we doing this for our own conscience sake? Whatever the case may be. Maybe I feel guilty. Maybe I feel I have to. I feel obligated. God's first focus is our heart. That our hearts are in a place where we want to do it. Because you see, God can have my hands without my heart. God can even have my mind without my heart. And if God does not have our heart, he doesn't have us. And God is after us. He's after our hearts. Because he knows when he's got our heart, he's got us. Forever and ever. And it's unfortunate that there are people today, in church in general, I'm talking that, they serve God with their hands. But they're not really serving God. Because their hearts are not in it. They're still pursuing their own will. They're still pursuing their own freedom. They're still pursuing their own desires. But they put a nice, thick, religious covering over all of that by serving God. I put it in inverted commas. But God says, you know, Deuteronomy 6:5, this is confirmed in the New Testament over and over again. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, all of your might. Where does it start? The heart. True obedience will always flow first from the heart. When I'm truly obedient to God, my heart will overflow. And from there, it will flow into my consciousness. It will flow into my mind. And it will manifest through what I do. That is true obedience. That is the kind of obedience that glorifies God. That exalts his name. Is when it flows from a loving heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I know I have. I mean, have any of you made promises to God in the past? It was actually based on fear or anxiety. Maybe you were in a desperate situation. And although you were very sincere at that time, you made a promise to God, but you couldn't actually follow through with that promise. You couldn't complete that promise. Anyone here? I did it. I know. About 10. We'll pray for all the liars afterwards. Most of us have, right? Where we've made a promise to God and we can't deliver on that promise. And the reason why that happens is, because most of these promises are based on our emotions and feelings. And a commitment that flows from an emotion or a feeling can never last. A commitment that is based on fear will never last. A commitment that's based on anxiety, even sympathy, will never last. Emotions are fleeting. God is after a heart commitment of understanding who He is and being thankful for what He's done. That is His desire. That is what He is after. And you know what? God is still looking for people every single day who are willing to radically surrender themselves to His Lordship, who are willing to radically surrender their will to His will. God is to this day looking for bondservants. The doulos people. The definition of a bondservant, or one of the definitions of a bondservant, is being devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. Now that does not go down well in a postmodernistic society. We don't like that. To the disregard of one's own interest. Okay, so we've seen that the servant, when he places or he gives up his freedom, he places himself under the master forever. But now the relationship between the master and the servant completely changes. It completely changes. Because the servant is willing to surrender himself to the master, to Adonai, my Lord, because he's willing to surrender himself to his household, to his will, the master now has a responsibility to take care of the servant, to protect the servant, and to look out for the servant. Why? Because the servant is part of his household. He surrendered his will completely to this master. And when this individual becomes a bond servant, a permanent servant, because of his love for his master, all of a sudden, that servant's household, his family, will forever be taken care of. Now, just in the practical sense, when a slave, when he decided to become a bondservant, he decided to follow God, to follow the master, he will appear in a public gathering. The word also says before God, and he will make a declaration. He will declare that I am becoming and I'm choosing to be a bondservant of this master. The next thing, they will take him to the master's house, put his ear on the door, take the awl, the else, press it through his ear. It sounds hectic, but you do it anyway, ladies. Yeah, they probably had spirits. I don't know why. I know they thought something up there. The guy didn't suffer that much. And he would stand there for a while with his ear on the doorpost. He will stand there, literally attached to the house of the master. Symbolically signifying, I am now part of the household of this master. That is what it signifies. That's the symbolism behind it. But what does that mean for us? Basically, it means that if we want to come into the house of Adonai, we must become bondservants. That's what it means for us. If we want to come in the house of God, into the kingdom of God, we need to become bondservants. What does that mean? Giving up our free will. Giving up that what we hold so close to our hearts that's got nothing to do with God. Guys, if we, and I know this may sound a bit harsh, but this is reality. If the master speaks, if Adonai speaks, if God speaks, and I obey him on my terms whenever I feel like it, whenever it fits my schedule, whenever I want to, then I'm not a bondservant. I'm actually a rebel. I'm rebelling against God. I'm following my own ways. Heaven is not going to be full of rebels. It's going to be full of people who are humble and are saying, not my will be done, but your will. God is looking for those who are committed to serve Him forever and ever. You see, when we make that commitment to God and say, I am becoming your servant, I am attaching myself to you, that's when He becomes our Lord and Savior. Many people, unfortunately, today, they want Jesus as Savior, but not Lord. The two is not mutually exclusive. It's not either or, it's both. We can't have, I want you as Savior, but I want to do my own thing. It's impossible. God doesn't give us that option. You know, if we enter into a covenant with God, one life is being exchanged for another life. Just so, by the way, we get the good deal. Because the life that's given to us is the life of Jesus. And everything that goes with it. It's a divine contract. A contract is actually, it's not the right word. Covenant is the best word for it. Because it's forever binding. So when I commit to God, He says, I'm giving you the life, my life, the life of Jesus. Everything that goes with that is yours forever. In exchange, what I want is your life. God gets a bad deal. But you know why He takes that deal? It's so that He can show us how able He is. That He can take lives like ours that doesn't amount to much. He says, you know what? If you subject yourself to me, you stand amazed at what I will do through you. Everyone here, everyone sitting in this room, God is saying, I'm able to work through you. Yes, you are unable. I know that. That's why I came to earth 2,000 years ago. But if you allow me to take control, if you allow me to work through your life, you will see yourself in person how able I am through you. And you will love me like never before. But we must come to the place of surrender. So, again, you know, guys, we can keep our money. We can keep our deeds, we can keep our musical ability, our prophetic anointing, our teaching anointing. We can keep all these things. If God doesn't have us, He's not interested in the other stuff. He's after our hearts. He says, I don't want that other stuff if your heart is not in it. If your heart is in it, yes, then it glorifies me. And then I want it. But if not, please, stop it. And I want to actually challenge, and this is a big challenge I'm going to give some of you. If you are serving because you feel you have to, if you are serving because you feel obligated or guilty, you just want to ease your conscience, I want to ask you, stop serving in the church. Let God, let's get together, let's pray that God will do a work in our hearts, that it will overflow naturally. I can't stop myself, you know. I actually want to come to the place where leadership comes and say, Johan, you're doing too much, man. Whoa. You know? Stop. You're going to burn out. Or, well, you can't burn out if you're in love with something. That's the other thing. You know, this whole burnout thing is actually just for me personally, and I don't want to offend anyone, but I can speak from experience because I was at a place of burnout, and I know it was because of the condition of my heart. My heart was not in the right place. I started to fall in religious works. I started to fall in a place where I felt guilty and obligated to do certain things. And it didn't flow from love. And I started to burn out. God's like, man, I don't want that. First come to that place of falling in love with me, being in love with me. The works will flow from there naturally anyway. I know that's a big challenge, my friends. But I'd rather give it to you straight, and that you not get offended with God, the church, friends, home group, whatever. Because you are driven by guilt and religion. Religion kills. Jesus gives life. The love of God drives us to give more. But if we are driven by anything else than the love of God, then we are almost the same as the Egyptians just after they came out of Egypt. We're driven by fear and everything else that God doesn't want for his servants. God is after lovingly surrendered hearts. And another thing is that we cannot be a bondservant if we cling to our own freedom. It's impossible. You cannot be a bondservant if you cling to your own freedom. You see, God desires the people that says, "Not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. Whatever you want, I want to pursue. Whatever you desire, I want to desire." That is the kind of people that God is looking for. And this is where Jesus comes into play. Because God looked at us and he saw, yes, man, these guys, they are struggling to get it. I need to send them an example. And he decided, I'm going to be the example. And he came in the form of Jesus. He became flesh and he dwelt amongst us 2,000 years ago on this earth. And he showed us what it means to live a life of doulos, of bond servanthood. And Jesus lived a life that completely glorified the Father, because Jesus denied his own desires. Jesus denied his own will. Jesus denied his own freedom. And he said, only what you want, I want. Only what I see you do, I will do. Only what you speak, I will say. I'm not going to live this life for myself. I'm living it for you, my Father. The prime example of a bondservant, where God Almighty, our Creator, comes in the form of a man. He lowers himself to our level and he sees and he says, this is the way. I'm not only going to talk about it, I'm going to show it. And Jesus denied himself of many things because he understood it wasn't his will that mattered, it was the will of the Father. And we have to ask ourselves, my friends, is my career, is it surrendered to Jesus? Is my business surrendered to Jesus? Is my future in front of me, what I desire so much, is that surrendered to Jesus? My 5-year plan, my 10-year plan, my 20-year plan, is it surrendered to Jesus or not? Am I still pursuing my own heart's desires? These are tough questions I had to ask myself. This thing challenged the living wits out of me while I was preparing. I'm preaching at you. I'm preaching for myself here. Are we surrendered in our marriage partners? Single ladies, guys? Are you entrusting your will, your desire unto Jesus? Married people, are you radically entrusting your relationship unto Jesus? Jesus wants surrendered hearts that says, not my will, but your will be done. If God comes and he says, listen, I've got now a completely different plan from you. But God, I mean, it took me 15 years to get this career going. And I'm now senior level management. I can maybe go director. He says, that's your will. I understand that, but that's not my will. I've got a different plan for you, my friend. I've got a different plan for you, my son and my daughter. Are we willing to say, yes, Lord, your will be done, not my will? Tough question, I know. But if we are to be bondservants in the house of God, he moves in obedience because his desire is to see his master's will fulfilled. So by the way, when the master prospers, the servant prospers. Think about that. So the reason, one of the reasons why Jesus also came down as a bondservant is also to show us that God speaks to bondservants. He speaks to bondservants. And because Jesus was a bondservant, he could hear God so clearly. He could hear the Father so clearly. But God doesn't speak to slaves, and he doesn't speak to hirelings. There may be an exception to the rule, but in general, God doesn't speak to slaves, and he doesn't speak to hirelings. The ones that come to God with conditions in their heart, God is very quiet around those people. But the ones that are surrendered to him, that says, "You are my all in all," to them God speaks. And we see this also in the life of Jesus. Now, John 7:17, I've probably read, John 7, I've probably read, a couple of times in my life, a few times, but I never saw this. For the first time I saw this, and the light bulb just went on. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying that if our will is to do the will of God, then we will start to understand spiritual things. Then it is that we will start to understand what God's purpose is for my life. Again, God understands the motives and the condition of our heart. And when we are not committed to do and to obey his words because of our love for him, God's not going to reveal himself to us in a personal way. But if we are committed and we do love him and we do seek his desire, he will manifest himself to us in a very personal way. He will reveal who he is. We will start to understand spiritual truths. We will start to walk in an anointing because we surrender to him. And he can trust us with the treasures of heaven. Now, again, Jesus is quite clear about the manifestation of love. John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." You see what Jesus is saying here? He doesn't reveal and manifest himself to anyone. He reveals himself to those who do the will of the Father. Who does the will of the Father as a bondservant. Now, John 8:35-36. "The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus is talking here to a couple of people who already believes in him. They believe in him already. They're following him. Do you think Jesus knows the word? Of course. Stupid question is that. He is the word, right? So he knows the word. Now, is it possible that in this scripture that Jesus is referring to the law of the bondservant? He's saying the slave does not remain in the house forever. Jesus knows Exodus 21. We know that slaves do not remain in the house of the master forever because they're being set free after 6 years. They can go. They're free. But the son? Does the son remain in the house of God forever? Yes. The son does remain in the house of God forever. Forever. You see, when the bond servant, because of his love for the master, and because of his willingness to surrender his will and his ways, when he's willing to surrender that all to God, and when he attaches himself to the door of Adonai, the door of the master, then he actually becomes a son in the house of the master. That servant becomes a son. Not because we deserve it, because God is good. That's why John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus is the door into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the door into the kingdom of heaven. And when we come as bondservants to Jesus and allow our ears to be placed against him who is the door, and allow our ears to be pierced with an awl to symbolize that we are attached to this house, to this master for all of eternity, I'm giving up my freedom because I'm following this master. Why? Because I love him and he's a good master. When we do that with a surrendered will, surrendered hearts, where we surrender our plans, we surrender our desires, then God says, you become a son of my house. And you know what? Then you become free. It's in that position that we experience true freedom. If we want to be free, our warning is this. If we want to be free, we need to give it up. That's how the word works. If you want more, you need to give away. Yeah, it freaks me out, man. Me too. Don't worry about it. That's how it is. Yeah. It works. It's a spiritual law that works. Every single time that we apply it, it works. The word says, if you want to be free, you need to give your freedom away. It's so ironic that those who keep their freedom for themselves enslave themselves. They keep themselves in bondage. How ironic is that? But those who say, my free will, my desires and my plans, Lord, everything I surrender to you. God says, in that you will understand freedom. In that situation, you will be truly, unconditionally, utterly free. It's something that you cannot experience if you're not surrendered to the will of God. To the bond servants, Jesus is saying, John 15:14-15, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That word friends there is the Greek word philos. It means dear covenant friend. I embrace you as a covenant dear friend. Jesus says, you're not a slave any longer. I make you a friend if you are a bondservant. But not only a friend, you become a son in my house if you are a bondservant. If you are surrendered to my will, if you are surrendered to my ways, I will manifest myself to you. I will show you who I am. I will, man, you will experience me in a way you've never experienced before. And I will show you what I'm able to do through you. But surrender. Don't pursue your own desire. Don't pursue your own plan. Guys, who knows more? God or we? God. He sees into the future. He knows what's coming. He understands the ways of the future, of our paths. How silly it is, and I'm again preaching to myself here, to pursue my own plan and my own desire and my own will when I've no idea what's coming. And God is saying, I don't want you to take this route. I want you to take that route. And I'm like, oh God, it doesn't line up with my plan. The God's like, what? Your plan? What are you on about? You're going to be with me for eternity. You're part of the eternal picture. Line up. Be part of that picture. Don't be like the donkey that goes his own way and needs to, you know, be steered with a bridle in his mouth. And I don't want to fight you the whole time. I will, because I love you. I will fight you till you break. And you listen to what I say. But I don't want to. I want you to be surrendered to my will, so that my glory may be made manifest through your life. And in eternity, you will see what I've done through you And guys, that's another thing. Many things we will not understand here. God will require certain things of you as an individual that you will not understand. And you won't understand how that lines up with my family. I don't understand how that lines up with my 5 and my 10 and my 20-year plan. I don't know how it lines up with my career. But one day we will. If you move in obedience and in faith, God will bless it. Right? If you move from a heart of love in obedience and in faith, God will bless that move. That, what I heard from my father, I've made known to you. Who's he made known to? To his friends. Philos, dear covenant friend. Who's the friends? Bondservants. That's who he's making known. The Father's will. So if we can conclude. Doulos was once a slave. All of us were, weren't we? We were enslaved to this world. We were enslaved to sin. We were enslaved. But through Christ, we were made free. We were set free. And there we've got a choice. We can pursue our own freedom, or we can pursue the will and the desire of our Father, our Master, and become a willing bondservant of Him. And if we do that, if we become a bondservant of God, we are joined to His house. And our responsibilities to one another has changed. Because the servant is required actually to be obedient, yes. The servant can't go and lie on the couch of the master every day and tell him to bring in cups of teas. That's not how it works. Yeah, he's required to be obedient to the master and to follow the master and to serve the master, but not of necessity, not of obligation, but because he's filled with love for that master. And in that process, as he surrenders his will, it becomes part of the household and he becomes a son in that house. The master, in response, takes care of that servant, protects that servant, and provides for that servant. Can we just stand? I have to ask myself a few questions when I evaluate myself as a bondservant. The first question I have to ask myself is, am I a bondservant? Am I a bondservant of Christ? Is my will surrendered to God's will? And I know this is a challenge, my friends. And I know that we struggle and we fall and we're not always obedient. When we fall and when we're not obedient, we repent and we go make right. That's all we do. We don't need to sit in ashes feeling sorry for ourselves. We repent and we go and do what's right. Yeah. Am I a servant of the Most High? Am I a servant of my fellow Christian? Of my fellow brothers and sisters? Do we serve one another? I believe we do. I can see a lot of serving happening in this church, and I know it's coming from pure hearts. Abundant hearts, loving hearts. And it's beautiful to see. Am I prepared to say, I will do whatever, Lord, wherever, Lord, whenever, Lord? Yes, I've worked hard at this career. Yes, I've studied long. But you know what? If you speak to me, if you say go, I will go. If you say move, I will say yes, Lord. Because if we're not prepared to do that, then we're not yet bondservants. Surrender to the will of God. Then I just felt, while I was preparing, there's some of you, God has spoken to you about something. It's a witness that you have inside your gut. It's almost gnawing at you. Yeah, it's something like, yes, man, I know I need to do this because God has spoken to me about this and you've not yet done it. But this is something that's been staying for you maybe for months, maybe even years. Maybe it's a few weeks. I don't know. But God says, it's time to surrender yourself unconditionally, to submit your will to my will, and to go do what I've told you to do. Because you are bondservant. Because you're in my house. I am the master. Still. That's never going to change. Jesus, the Father, will always be the master. And he's speaking to his people. He's speaking to his bondservants, as we've seen tonight. And I believe he's spoken to a lot of people here. In the past, maybe even tonight, I don't know. But whatever God has spoken to you about, you need to go do that what God has placed in your heart to do. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your presence. Because you say, we're two more gathered, there you are. We thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord God, that we can trust you to reveal to us your purposes for our lives, Lord God. There won't be any confusion about that. Where this has probably been a very challenging message, Lord, I pray that you will let it grow, bear fruit where it needs to bear fruit, Lord God. Just while our eyes are closed, as some of you, maybe standing here, and you've got your foot in two worlds, man. You've got your one foot semi in the kingdom of God. Your other foot is still in the world. And God says, you cannot have it both ways. His word actually says, if you do not choose me, you choose against me. He's very clear on that. That's radical. But let me tell you, if you want to follow God, that is a radical life. That is a radical life. Radical commitment. Radical obedience. And radical love. Radical grace. Radical mercy. Radical hope. Radical faith. But you need to choose. You need to choose. Are you for God or are you against God? And that decision is an eternal decision that has to be made. If you're here and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus completely yet, if you're still pursuing your own will, if you're still pursuing your own way, I'm not talking about if you're a reborn Christian. But if you know you're not a reborn Christian, you've not dedicated your life to Jesus. Tonight you want to do that. You want to dedicate your life to Jesus unconditionally. I'm not going to expose you. Don't worry. All eyes are closed. I just want to know, can you just quickly raise your hand? Thank you for those hands. Just lower your hand again. And then there's some here, like I said earlier, where God has spoken to you, and you're actually moving in disobedience. And you need to repent of that. I'm going to ask you to just do business with God now, wherever you're at. And I don't want you to move in emotion because you feel guilty, because you feel obligated. None of that nonsense. Put your eyes on Jesus and remember what he's done. Remember who he is. Savior, Lord, Creator, Holy, King, Anointed One, whose return is so close. And He's coming back for a spotless bride. He's coming back for a committed, radical people who serve Him without fear, who serve Him in love, radical love. And then to respond to Him from that heart. A heart of love towards our great Master, our great King. Father, we surrender, Lord. We surrender our lives. We surrender our will. We surrender our desires. Everything, Lord God, that is not lined up with You and Your purposes, with Your kingdom. It's rubbish, Lord. It's worthless. It means nothing. It won't count for anything. And we surrender all of that to You right now in Jesus' name. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You come and that You move between Your people. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Lord God, that the cares of this world will not swallow Your people. Thank You that Your people will not succumb, Lord God, to culture. Will not succumb, Lord God, to the flavor of the day. But that Your word will be a cement in their heart. And that Your people will be cemented in Your word. Thank You that You're all powerful, committed, faithful. Thank You that You've given us the example, Jesus, of what it means to be a bondservant, of surrendering ourselves to You. You are worthy, Lord. We love You, Lord. Lord God, there where our hearts are not moved in love, I pray that You will come and fill our cups with Your love, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that our hearts will overflow with love for You. That our minds will be consumed, Lord God, with You because we love You. That our deeds will glorify You because it's bursting from a fountain of love for You. Repent, Lord God, of every obstacle that we've allowed to take Your place. And I pray, Lord God, that You will give wisdom as how to glorify You and Your name wherever we go, in our careers, in our marketplace, in our businesses, in our families. And above all, Lord God, that we'll come yielded to You. That we'll approach You in humility, knowing that we know nothing. And we are nothing apart from You. We need You. We need You. We surrender to You, a holy and anointed King. We surrender to you. Is there anyone here who's got a word while we're preaching, God just gave you a word, something you want to share, maybe you saw a vision or something you want to share it with the church? More than welcome. No, okay. Father, I thank you for life. I thank you, Lord God, that we can know that when we are in your house, there's life, there's victory, we will overcome. Nothing will overcome us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the victory is already won in you. That we can stand just amazed, Lord God, of your glory, of your power, of your love, Lord God, of your grace, Lord God. And that we can know that as we slot into your household, Lord God, everything else will start to make sense. I thank you, Lord God, that it's not going to be any confusion upon your children any longer in the name of Jesus. Come against any confusion, any dark clouds. Right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you for clarity, Holy Spirit. That you bring clarity to your people. And that the life of Jesus manifest in the lives of your saints. I thank you, Lord God, that we do not have to strive. I come against every form of striving in Jesus' name. We will not move through striving, but we will move through your love. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you are committed. Even though we are faithless, you are faithful, Lord God. You are faithful, Lord God. Always and forever. And Jesus, we're looking forward to your return, Lord. We're looking forward, Lord Jesus, when you're coming back to fetch your people, your surrendered people, your spotless bride, the ones who are looking for your coming, who are desiring in their heart to see Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that this day is approaching and we can live with that hope inside of us. We worship you. We worship you.